Good morning and praise the Lord, everybody. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. So good to be in worship with all of the saints, those of you who are worshiping with us in person, and those of you who are worshiping with us online. Surely the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. And I don't know about you this morning, but I am thankful and grateful for the grace and the mercy of God. Isn't it an amazing grace? Wouldn't you agree with me? It is an amazing grace. And we all should be grateful and thankful for the amazing grace of God on this morning. And I'm sure there were some nerves whether or not Brother Todd would be here this morning. I made it this time. And I do apologize profusely for that moment that we had. It was definitely an advanced aged moment for me. I was in worship with the saints at Kimberly Parkway and received a text message inquiring of my location. And I do apologize. That was a once, I'm believing by faith, that was a once in a lifetime moment that shall never happen again, be it the Lord's will. But nevertheless, thank God, always has a ram in the bush and a word from the Lord, I understand, went forth that was powerful and prolific. And so we thank God for his men and women servants who stand ready. That is our task. That is our responsibility, to stay ready when one of the other brethren or sistren suffers from some type of temporary memory loss. So thank you so much for your grace and for not running me out of here this morning. I appreciate you all so much. I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Psalms chapter 13. Psalm chapter 13. And in our collective hearing this morning, I just want to start by sharing one verse, and then we're going to come back to Psalm 13. So find Psalm 13, engage with me as I read one verse from this psalm, and then put a pen, put a finger, put a pencil, put a piece of paper there, because we will be returning to Psalm 13. Momentarily, but I just want to lift this one verse. I want you to read it as I read it aloud. I want you to read it silently. From the King James Version, Psalm 13, verse 1, reads thusly, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou, will you, hide thy face, hide your face from me?" All of us have been prone from time to time to forget something. Some of us forget to show up to preach. All of us have been prone from time to time to forget something. This morning, I want to raise the following query. I want to raise the following question. Have you ever felt like you had been overlooked? Is that anyone's testimony in here this morning? online that there have been some times in life when you have felt overlooked, when you have felt like no one noticed you, when you felt like perhaps people had lost track of who you are, your existence. Has anybody ever felt that way this morning? What did it feel like for you to have been ignored? What did it feel like for you to feel like you had been disregarded and disremembered? There was a list compiled a few years ago, the top things people forget. People forget their passwords. People forget what they need at the grocery store. People forget where their keys are. People forget what day it is. People forget where they put their phone. People forget certain words or certain phrases, and we say it's on the tip of my, but I just can't seem to remember. And then number one on the list was preachers who forget to show up to preach. But what did it feel like for you when you sensed that maybe your parents, when you were a child, or perhaps you're a husband here this morning or online, or if you're here this morning or you're online and you're a wife, how did it feel when you felt like your husband or your wife forgot about you, lost sight of you, forgot about what it is that you were going through, challenges that you were wrestling with, circumstances, issues that perplexed you? And even though you had expressed your perplexion, even though you had expressed your frustration, even though you had clearly and cognitively expressed your challenge, your pain, your problem, your predicament, how did it feel to feel as though that person or those persons just let it go right over their head? Men. You know, we can be given as men to bouts of silent suffering, where we, in either perceived or real life, we can feel as though no one cares, and we sit and sulk silently in our loneliness, trying to steer through all of life's trials and tribulations. How many men can witness that, where you just don't say anything, but you just kind of sit silently and suffer and feel the pain and the stain and the sting of being ignored? Sisters, women typically, they may have a friend or a colleague. They'll call one another. They will lean on each other. They will cry on each other's shoulder. But I'm challenged to believe, I don't know the exact percentage, but I know, I'm sure there's not a lot of men who have called another man here in this congregation and just cried on his shoulder because you felt ignored by your spouse, ignored by your children, ignored by your supervisor, your boss, your employees. The very best of us, whether we are prepared for them or not, will have to encounter periods of time that will leave us feeling as though we have been abandoned and deserted. Two painful experiences that occur in every life: a feeling of abandonment, feeling of being deserted. Oh my goodness, the anguish and the anxiety that we undergo when we feel like we've been forgotten. Somebody once said this: to be forgotten is a little bit like dying. Isn't that how everyday living can tempt you and I, seduce us into feeling when it seems as though we've not been remembered? It feels like a little bit of us has died. Typically, not always, but typically, more often than not, there are There are two questions we ask when it seems as though we have been blanked out and blotted out. More often than not, I don't know the percentage, I don't know how often, I can't give you an exact scientific breakdown. I can't give you, I've not taken a poll that I could suggest from this pulpit would give us some numbers, but I'm willing to believe that there are more often than not times when we feel as though we are little more than just blown over bygones, consigned to someone's cognitive oblivion. Times when we feel as though nobody can remember our name, let alone our pain and our problems and our issues and our challenges and our frustrations and our failures and our flops and our hang-ups and our slip-ups and our mess-ups and our sin and our stains. There are times when all of us have felt as though we have slipped through life's cracks, and it looks like we're going to be left behind and left out. Is that anyone's testimony today? Not perhaps for the vast majority of your lives, but at some point, some season, some space, some place in your life. And perhaps there's someone here, that's exactly how you feel this morning. Someone worshiping online, that may be exactly how you feel this morning. That you're in a place in life where it seems as though you have been just overlooked and no one seems to care. And sometimes you just want to go to a place where everybody knows your name. Shout out to Cheers. All of us can identify with that. We just want to go to a place, we just want to live and exist at a time in life where everybody knows who we are. But more often than not, there are times when it seems as though there's no one there. And there's no one who cares. And that's the impetus behind today's teaching, preaching pericope, the text this morning. While we don't feel like the feeling, or for many the realities of being forgotten by our families or our friends, It adds injury to insult when we feel like God has forgotten us. It's one thing to feel as though mom, dad, sister, brother, coworker, neighbor, boyfriend, girlfriend. It's one thing to feel as though a church member may have forgotten about me, hasn't thought about me, hasn't called me, hasn't given me an encouraging word. It's one thing to feel as though, you know, that hey, my birthday was last week, and I don't want to say anything about it. I just thought that somebody might send me a card. I thought somebody might get me one of them nice Dairy Queen ice cream cakes, or I just thought somebody might remember it was, you know, I thought she might remember it's our anniversary. I thought he might remember it's our 20th, it's our 25th, it's our first, it's our second, it's our third wedding anniversary. I just thought that they would remember and they didn't. That's one thing to feel forgotten in those instances, but it's a whole nother ball game when it feels like God has forgotten. Best-selling author, writer, coach, speaker, Tracy Miles said the following, and I quote, "Several years ago, I felt sure that God had forgotten me. My marriage had ended, my heart was destroyed, and my mind was in a perpetual state of panic. Overall," Tracy writes, "my life was a mess." Anybody understand how Tracy felt? She says, "I was drowning in a sea of difficult circumstances. I was drowning in the sea of confusion. I was drowning in a sea of pain. And with each gasping breath, God seemed farther and farther away. I prayed," because that's what the saints told me to do, "just pray about it. How many of you have ever gotten that prescription? Just go and pray about it. But yet it seems as though the harder you pray and the longer you pray and the more you fast and the more you go into consecration, that God seems farther and farther away. He seems to get more silent and more silent and more silent. And so Tracy, she writes, so my emotions begin playing tricks on my mind. Be careful of your emotions when it seems as though God is not there. Because Satan is a master puppeteer of our emotions from time to time. And he can begin to play with our psyche. And when we pray and don't see change, and when we fast and don't see change, if we're given to our emotions, if we're driven by how we feel, we can faint and fall out in our faith. Tracy said, my mind began playing tricks on me, causing anxieties and fears to get the better of me. Instead of feeling God's presence and the strength to trust him, I felt alone and abandoned in every way. I'm sure that's someone's testimony today, that you might be feeling abandoned and alone in every way. She says, I knew it wasn't the right way to feel as a Christian, but I felt forgotten by him nonetheless. I understand, Tracy. I've had my moments. I've had my seasons. I've had those spaces and places in my life where I felt vulnerable and alone, overlooked, left out. I've had those places and spaces in my life when it felt as though God was not there, and God did not care. I know what Tracy felt like. And one of the greatest challenges with day-to-day living is living with the complete and full assurance that God is with us. And I want to encourage someone today. I want to remind you today, and if you did not know today, I want to inform you today that even though God may feel a million miles away, he is right there with you. Oh, you should be excited about that this morning, that our faith is not based on how we feel, though it might seem, though it might look, though it might be real or imagined, those feelings, those emotions that you have that no one cares. Praise be to God, he is right there and he cares. No matter what happens, he will care for me. He will care for me. He will care for me. And his mighty hand, even though it doesn't feel like it, even though it doesn't seem like it, even though it doesn't look like it, God's mighty hand will enable you to stand through cancer, stand through Alzheimer's, stand through your faults, stand through your mistakes. God's mighty hand will enable you to stand no matter what happens to you, and no matter if it feels like he isn't there. Just like Moses when he had to face Pharaoh, God can reassure us as we face our Pharaohs. What did God say to Moses? I will be what? With you. Is there anyone who enjoys, who takes pleasure in, or who relishes being forgotten? Certainly not. Hardwired into every human soul, mind, and spirit is the need to know that I am not alone, that someone cares about me and for me and will never leave me alone. Everyone needs and wants to feel authentically and genuinely paid attention to. How do we handle it? How should we respond when it seems like no one does care? What is our response? In our teaching text, we are provided at least three action steps. I want to give you three imperatives, three things you must do. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write down three things that you must do when life has seemingly turned out the lights and slammed its door on you and has left you asking, is God there and does anyone care? I'm going to give you three imperatives, three action steps. Here's the first. Maybe. Here's the first. Reach out to God in your situation. Reach out to God in your situation. Too often when we feel as though God is not there and that God does not care, we reach out to everyone but God in our challenge. Psalmist David, he writes this psalm, verse 1 in Psalm 13. He says, O Lord, how long will you forget me? He does not call on his neighbor and ask his neighbor how long will God forget him. He goes right to the source. Lord, I need you, and how long will it be before you answer me? Verse 2. How long must I struggle, Lord, with anguish in my soul? Here's how it reads in the King James. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How many of us can relate to that? I know I can. There have been some times where daily my soul has been drenched, has been soaked in sorrow. He writes, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Contained within the first two verses of this psalm, David, a king, he asks, he inquires of the Lord, how long will he forget him? No doubt David has exhausted all of his points of contact for a way out of his situation, and he resolved to reach out to the Lord for direction. When you feel as though you have been forgotten, when you feel as though you have been overlooked, go to the Lord. There's only so much help mom can give you. There's only so much direction dad can give you. There comes a time in all of our lives where we've got to go back to the source, the Lord, and inquire his direction for our lives and our situation. There's only so much our education can do. There's only so far our contacts can take us. We need to lean on the unfailing, unchanging, the strong arm of the Lord for our direction. David is a wealthy man. He's a man of means. He's a man of many contacts. He's a king, for goodness sakes. He has all sorts of resources at his disposal. He has a very large amount of money in his bank account, no doubt. He probably has all of the cards, the black card and the gold card, and all he's got all of the accoutrements that life can afford. But there comes a time in life where your gold card, your black card, your credit line, the money you have in the bank, the cars you drive, the clothes you wear will only take you so far. There are times when we feel, even with all of those things, that no one cares, and we need to ask God for help when we run out or use up all of our resources. Elijah Hoffman tells a story about a composer named Charles Gabriel. Charles Gabriel was a pastor in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. And Elisha Gabriel, he tells a story, he relays a story. Elijah Hoffman relays a story about Charles Gabriel in 1916 when Gabriel was a pastor in Lebanon. He says he had called one day at the home of a parishioner and found that the lady was in great distress and sorrow. She was wringing her hands and she was crying. How many of you all have been in that state of mind, state of condition where you are depressed, you are distressed, and you're wringing your hands, you are holding your head in sorrow because you're going through such a challenge and a trial in your life? And she asked this question, what shall I do? What am I going to do? How many of you have been there where you have felt alone, you have felt forsaken, you have felt forgotten, and you've asked that question, what am I going to do? You have paced, you have walked the floor, you have stayed up all night, or you tossed and turned in your bed and could not get rest, wondering, what am I going to do? How do I handle this? No one seems to care. I feel all alone. No one is listening. No one is supporting me. I feel as though I'm out on an emotional island all by myself. The thought came to her, you can't do any better than to take it to Jesus. You know what you have to do? This is the thought that came to her. You've got to tell Jesus. And for a moment, she seemed abstracted in meditation. Then her face began to glow. Her eyes lit up. And she exclaimed, yes, 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 that's what I'll do when I'm feeling alone. That's what I'll do in this moment of my life when I feel as if no one cares and no one is listening. Yes, that's what I'll do. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. And the composer says that she went from that sorrow-filled home, or the composer, I'm sorry, who was relaying the story about this lady. He said when he heard that story, he said he left from where he was at with a vision of a soul being transformed from darkness to light, and he wrote the following words. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he, the Lord, kindly will help me. He, the Lord, ever loves and cares for his own. And then he wrote this chorus, thinking about this woman who found herself in a challenging situation, but then, thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit, revealed to her what she must do. She must tell Jesus. When he heard about that story, he wrote the chorus, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear these troubles alone. In my distress, he kindly will hear me. He loves and cares for his own. When you know family and friends have forgotten, when it seems as though even God has forgotten, we should not give up. We've got to reach up. Reach up in prayer. Reach up in faith. Reach up believing and trusting, knowing that the thing to do is to tell Jesus. Here's the second thing you must do. Here's the second thing you do. Maybe. You've got to rely on God's reputation. So you call on the name of the Lord whenever you feel alone, whenever you feel lost, whenever you feel afraid. Call on the name of the Lord. Pray. Reach out to him in prayer and faith. But then you also have to rely on his reputation. Verse 3 in Psalm 13. Consider and hear me, Lord. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I love how it reads in the New Living Translation. Turn and answer me, O my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. David is appealing to God's track record. David could with boldness and with courage, and listen, you today with courage and boldness can turn to the Lord and the Lord will answer. God heard and answered Abram's prayer for offspring. God heard and answered Jacob's prayer for a blessing. God heard and answered when Elisha and his servant were surrounded by the enemy and Elisha prayed for God to reveal his power. When we reach out to God in prayer, it is okay to rely on God's reputation by reminding him of what he's done in the past. Come on, when Jesus was led into temptation and he was up there and Satan was was tempting him, what did he do? He relied on God's word and the history and the power of God and God's reputation to bring him through. And you and I must do the same thing. Lord, I'm coming to you. I feel lost. I feel alone. I feel overlooked. I feel forgotten. I feel abandoned. But Lord, you said in your word that you would never leave me nor forsake me. You rely on his reputation. Remind God of what he's done. Lord, I feel lost. I feel abandoned. But I remember what you did for your servant Moses. I remember what you did for your servant Joshua. And I'm coming to you with that same faith this morning, this afternoon, this evening. I need you, Lord. You've done it in the past, and I'm trusting you to do it again today. Rely on God's reputation when you feel as though he's not there. It's okay to remind him of what he's done. Here's the third thing you must do. When you feel alone, when you feel lost, when you feel left out, when you feel as though no one cares, when you feel as though God is even himself not present in your life, in your situation, in your circumstance, you reach out to him, you rely on his reputation. And then thirdly, rejoice in your salvation. Rejoice in your salvation. Now, that might seem like an oxymoronic thing to do. I feel as though God has left me, he's abandoned me, but I'm supposed to rejoice all at the same time? Yes. Yes. Yes, that's the third thing you must do. That's the third action step. That's the third imperative I want to share with you today. Reach out to him. Forget about feelings. Reach out to the Lord. Rely on his reputation. Remind him of what he's done. Here it is. And then rejoice in your salvation. Verse 5. But I have trusted in thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. David goes from the beginning of the psalm saying, Lord, how long will it be that you forget me, that people forget me? How long will it be that I have to live in sorrow, that I have to walk around with a smile on my face, but my heart aching? How long will it have to be that I have to continue to go into this classroom or go onto this job or go into this supermarket and because I know that all eyes are on me or that I might run into somebody I know, I've got to cover the tracks of my tears by putting on a brave face. Lord, listen, he reminds him in verse 4, lest my enemy say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me will rejoice when I move. Listen, God, he reminds him, Lord, listen, you got to help me because the people, my enemies, those who are trying to get the very best of me, they're going to look and find me in this situation if you don't help me, and they will believe that they have gotten the victory. They will believe that they have gotten the upper hand. He says to him, Lord, I need you. But he makes this decision in verse 5. But I'm going to trust in your mercy. I'm going to rejoice in my salvation anyway. When you feel lost, when you feel all alone, when you feel as though there's no way out, rejoice anyway. When your back is against the wall and it seems as though there's no way out, give God praise anyway. When it seems as though the world has forgotten you and your family has forsaken you, sing a song of praise and worship and adoration anyway. When it seems as though your children are going left, you've asked them to go right. When it seems as though down is up and up is down, just lift up your hands and sing a song of praise. God, I bless you. I honor you. Through it all, you are good. Your mercy endures forever. I rejoice in my salvation. I'm not going to give up, but I'm going to reach up and I'm going to trust you anyhow. When everything seems as though it's shaking and reeling and rocking in your world, I will praise you. Hallelujah. I will praise you evermore. And if I had 10,000 lives in which to praise you, I could not enough my blessed Lord adore. I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to praise you when they find those tumors. I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to glorify you when I get a pink slip. I'm going to praise you anyway when I don't necessarily get that A on that test. Or I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to rejoice in the fact that Jesus died that I might have life and live it and have it to its fullest. And so no matter what happens, God, I'm going to thank you anyway because I'm saved by your power divine. I'm saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete because no matter who remembers me, no matter who has forgotten me, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. And that's more than anything the world could do for me. I will rejoice. Verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. The New Living Translation reads this way, but I will trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. You and I can be certain that God's love for us, though we may feel forgotten, has not and will not fall short of our expectation. People will fall short of our expectation. God will never fall short of our expectation. People will come, situations will go, but God will remain steadfast and on our side if we trust him. You and I can be certain that his love for us is complete and totally dependable. You and I can be certain that God's love for us is inexhaustible and it is endless. And with that in mind, then, we can and we must be determined that we will be glad and we will take delight. Verse 6, I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. He goes from how long wilt thou forget me to I will sing because the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. How could he do that? How could that shift take place? Because he reached out to the Lord because he reminds the Lord and because he chose to rejoice in the Lord. Thank God for Jesus this morning, who, like you and I, was a man on earth when he was on earth in the form of a man, who could he could identify with you and I. Scripture says, he was, and I'm paraphrasing, but the scriptures teach us that he was acquainted with everything that you and I have to deal with. Even feelings of loneliness, loss, betrayal, abandonment, fear. The only thing that he couldn't identify with is what? Sin. Because he lived a perfect life. But he understands and he understood and he understands what you and I go through when we have those moments when it seems as though there is no one there to be with us, to support us, to encourage us. Jesus experienced all of that. And that is why we honor him as our Savior. That is why we have believed in our hearts and confessed with our mouth that he is our Lord and our Savior, because he died that you and I might be free from those feelings, those emotions, that you and I might unpack ourselves, that you and I might step out of our feelings and step into faith and trust in him. And if you're here today and you're not saved, this will be a great opportunity. Now is the time. Take advantage of this moment. If you are suffering with anxiety and depression and fear and discouragement, our Savior, Jesus, who is our Christ, our Messiah, he is the only one. Search through all, go through all the annals of history. Go down through time. There's never been anyone who would give his life so that you could be freed from those emotions, so that you could be freed from those fears and doubts and discouragement, so that you could really live life to its fullest and then enjoy eternal life, where there will be no depression, where there will be no feelings of abandonment. Aren't you glad about that? That you and I, the hope we have as believers is that there will be a day, there will be a place, there's a place being prepared for us where we will never have to worry about being abandoned again. You'll always have your mother-in-law with you. Glory. I will trust in the Lord. I will sing in spite of. Yeah, there's coming a day for us believer where if we just remain faithful and keep trusting God, we won't have to worry about those feelings of being lost like David wrote in that Psalm 13. Listen, there's coming a day, and that day actually can be, we can enjoy it here on earth, but we're going to be able to enjoy it forever if we reach out to the Lord. We have enough courage to remind him of what he's done and trust in what he's done in the past, and if we will rejoice. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. Don't let the enemy cause you to become this dried up, sour, dour, down Christian. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of the peace and the hope that comes from a life that has been given back to the Lord and who trust in Jesus as Savior. So if you're here this morning and you recognize, you know what? I need to be saved. I need to be kept by God through the power of his Holy Spirit from these emotions that I'm wrestling with, abandonment and discouragement and fear, you can come and pray and someone may pray with you, pray for you. If you're here and you're saved and you say, you know what, I'm a believer, but I want to come and ask God for more grace. Grace to reach out to him in faith. Grace to remind him and to trust in what he's done in the past. And grace that he will give me a new song to sing, that he'll give me a spirit of rejoicing even when I am feeling lost and abandoned and alone and down and discouraged. Come on, are there any men in here who come to an altar of prayer this morning and say, you know what, I've been sitting in my silent loneliness, but I want the Lord, and I believe the Lord is able to bring me out of that. Are there any couples this morning? Are there any teenagers this morning? Any seniors this morning who might say, you know what, I've been wrestling with feelings. I'm like David, I've been feeling lost. Like, God, where are you? But I'm gonna from this day forth, I'm gonna keep reaching out to God in spite of how I feel. I'm gonna commit today from this day forward to relying and reminding God about who he is, who he was in times past, and who I need him to be today. And who will say, you know what, God, I'm going to recommit today to rejoicing, even when times are troubling. If that's you, I want to invite you to come. Music ministry is going to minister. There'll be those that if you want prayer, you can will be prayed for. I'm praying for you, church. Be encouraged. Question that was asked by David, how long? And I'm telling you today, it doesn't have to be long. You can enjoy new life, better life in God through Christ by the power of the Spirit, even right now. Amen.